You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where we blend the art of appraising with a touch of insight and a dash of humor. Whether you're a trainee, a seasoned professional, or just curious about the appraisal world, you've come to the right place. So grab your favorite brew, relax, and join us for some expert tips, real-world stories, and valuable advice to help grow your appraisal business. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Hey, welcome back, appraisers. You know, this week our guest is Garen Burton. He is from iTrip Vacations. He's an expert at managing short-term rental properties, which is huge in the appraisal business right now, how to value them, whether you're a residential or a commercial appraiser. Garen's going to give you some great tips to come up with some accurate valuations for your short-term rentals. What's up, Garen?
What's up, Dan? Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Of course. You want to give a little introduction?
Yes, sir. Garen Burton from Dallas, Texas. Originally, I've been in South Florida with my family for about the last 4 years. And I come from a real estate background. My mother was a real estate broker back in Texas for about 30 years, but she only dealt with residential properties. So I've seen real estate in the real estate community for a long time. Especially when we moved to Florida, I was working for medical management company where we would buy and sell doctor's offices. So I did that for about 15 years. And as I was transitioning out of that corporate position, I decided to buy a business. And, you know, lo and behold, I did a couple of different analyses and trying to figure out what made sense to be in South Florida. And we landed on short-term rentals because they're so huge in Florida specifically, but just nationwide, they're becoming a big thing. So we've been doing short-term rentals as a business for the last 2.5 years. But definitely have a big real estate background.
Cool. So iTrip is a franchise.
Yes, iTrip's a franchise model. We are, our biggest thing for us is that we are in the territories. So the iTrip that I bought is specifically for 10 different cities within South Florida. So we service them. We give that boots on the ground, you know, really give them the white glove service touch for the homeowners as well as for the guests that we provide. So we don't just do the property management where you go make sure the property is clear, you know, clean up with the pool is clean and, you know, the outside is taken care of on the inside. We also help them get guests during short and high season.
Got it. Yeah, this definitely the South Florida market is a lots of short-term rentals around here. So I ran into Garen. Garen and I networked together, and I thought this would be some good content for appraisers in the STR area. So for people who don't know what a short-term rental is, in case there are new listeners or whatever, what's a short-term rental?
Basically, anytime a homeowner is going to essentially lease out their property for 6 months or less, it's considered a short-term rental. Anything over 6 months usually requires a realtor or some other type of agreement for a long-term agreement with the tenant. But for us, we work with vendors like Airbnb, Vrbo, some of the traditional ones that people have heard of. Those are channel partners that we use to find guests for the homes that we manage. So anything under 6 months, we can call a short-term rental.
Okay, so a homeowner wants to do a short-term rental for their property. They don't need to go to vacation rental or any of the other ones out there. They can go to iTrip and you channel it to those partners.
Yeah, so for us, again, we are a territory, right? So anything that's in our territory, which for the sake of this is, for those familiar with the area, Pompano Beach is where we service. So anything from Pompano Beach through Boca Raton, which is about four cities there, and then everything that goes west towards Coral Springs and Parkland, we have that area, which is ours. If you go outside of those territory lines, there is another iTrip professional that picks up. So you can reach out to any iTrip or go to our website, and you can find a property manager in your area if we service that area.
Got it. And the advantage of going to you is that you can you send it out to all those partners where the homeowner doesn't need to manage that.
Exactly. So for us, the cool thing about our platform is that our CRM integrates with about 85 different channel partners. So Airbnb, Vrbo, there's a ton of them that are international as well. So you're not just working with the two main ones. You're working with all these other boutique ones to find guests year round. And the cool thing for us is, well, with the seasonality, when things seem to go low here, we can pull from other markets like South America or from Asia or from Europe. And so people are traveling year round, they may not have even heard of Pompano Beach or Deerfield or Boca Raton, but we can still cascade to them on those sites.
So like this, like we call it the snowbird season down here when all the people from Canada and up north come down to South Florida. So that's what you mean by seasonality. So basically you're saying maybe there's no more seasonality if like on that platform, like because you'll just fill it with other guests.
Well, we call it high season, low season. So for us in South Florida, high season typically starts around late August, early November, when snowbirds come down from other markets like New York, Maine, Connecticut. And they'll stay usually for 3 to 6 months. And so when you're getting to the end of April, a lot of times that that bulk of guests who are traveling this way, they're gone back to where they come from. And then for Florida specifically, a lot of the people who live here are going to go other places. So it's going to be just what we call low season. So for us to be able to cascade that property to get them more eyes on the property during like May, June, July, and so forth, through the low season, we can actually market internationally for them.
Got it. So how do you go about setting the rates? Like, how do you know what rate to publish for that house? How do you know if it's going to go for like $300 a night, $150 a night? How do you figure that out?
So they have different tools. One public one is called AirDNA, which is a pretty big platform. AirDNA, you can type in your address. It'll tell you what it thinks the market rate should be for that property. You can go as granular as average daily rates. But a good property manager is going to know year over year, they're going to have their own data that they can kind of bounce off to know, okay, a 2-2 condo on the beach should go for this, a 3-2 or a 3-3 should go for this. So they'll have their own data pool of real data. But you do have other companies like AirDNA where you can go there and it kind of gives you a baseline. When you get with a seasoned property manager, a lot of times they're going to have their own preferred tool that they use. And so they can pull data, just much like when you're a realtor with the MLS, you can pull comps because you're a member of the database. And so if you have a short-term rental manager who is a member of the national organizations or has their own rate management software that they're paying for, that's going to be your best bet there to go there, because that's going to give you more of a real time average daily rate, monthly rate, you know, when to kind of, you know, what to really go after the property for to market it. And they're going to have more tools that way.
So is AirDNA a free service or a paid service?
Yeah, it's free. It's free. Yeah. They have a free tier. I think they have a paid tier now, but the free tier at least gives you some information on your property. So you can kind of know how many STRs might be in your area. And what they're actually charging. Now, the thing that AirDNA does not take into account sometimes is that the data might not be scraped. And what I mean by that is it may give you a number of what it thinks the average daily rate is or how many days per year it's occupied. But we don't know if that's owner related, if the owner is actually staying in it. And so that's why, you know, you may want to just consider getting a short-term rental professional who can have a different set of data points to really go up against what AirDNA shows.
Got it. So maybe like the AirDNA, maybe like the Zillow of the real estate value.
Yeah.
Just like a starting off point.
Yeah. Like those Zillow estimates, it's like, oh, your house is worth like, you know, $850,000, but it might only be worth $750, who knows. But
So besides the free service, so what can like an appraiser subscribe to actually get like if they're trying to find a comp a similar. If they're trying to figure out how much this property can rent for a survey, what's a paid service? Is there any paid service out there for them to find actual stats of the homes in the neighborhood, what they're going for, daily rates? Or how do they figure that out? How do you figure that out?
So, well, one thing we do is you can call other property managers. Sometimes they can kind of let you know, hey, this is what we thought this was going for, and you kind of get some idea from them, you know, in like a social setting or like a membership group, and you guys can, you know, if they're not working in that market, but they have some software, they might look it up for you. That's, I'll do that sometimes for other markets, you know, California, that's what I'm my bag. And then there's another company called RevMax that's pretty popular. And then if you search online, sometimes you'll just find revenue managers or these little smaller companies, boutique companies that are out there where they will have people who work for some of the major companies like Vacasa and Revolve that are more corporate owned. But you may have people there who don't work there anymore, but like kind of know the system. And you can find these little small boutique companies where they just deals, just do revenue cycle management for you or do that pricing for you for a flat rate per month.
I see. All right. So regarding occupancy rates, you said some properties may be like owner occupied for a while and it may screw with the numbers. Like I know you said you give owners a report what you can project them that they may earn for that property. So the occupancy rate, how do you figure out what a true occupancy rate is for a short term rental?
So like I said, all the like public data like on AirDNA is there, right? It's really like once you have a property manager that's been in the business about a year or so that has a comp that size, that they can really tell you. So for instance, you know, AirDNA may say a 3-3 in Deerfield on the beach is going to have like a 65% occupancy rate. You may get that same 3-3 comp and have it in your database for a year or two, and it may show 50%. And so from there, you kind of have to just cut the difference. And that's when you get into like pricing, like, okay, maybe I'll go for a lower occupancy rate if I can get a higher average daily rate. Maybe I'll go for a higher occupancy rate if I have a lower average daily rate. And so that's where rate management is just having somebody who's seasoned enough to know the ebbs and flows of the industry or the seasonality can really help you. Because for us, we know that in theory, we should have about a 70-75% occupancy rate in this area during high season because we have so much demand. But if you're pricing yourself at market value or above, you may have trouble renting that same property. And so from there, it's like, you know, what strategies do you use to make sure that the properties either have a high occupancy rate or you're actually maximizing your average daily rate?
So you think it's like 70-75%, that's the goal during high season, the rate?
In high season.
And then during the slow season or the low season, homeowner?
In low season, you should expect low occupancy, but you want to try and get the higher daily rates that you can get. And so, or like I said, if you're, let's say that's that property that's selling for $250 a night in high season, the homeowner may have an idea that I'm not going to let that property go for $100 a night, but you may say, hey, you can get $100 a night in low season and it'll be booked for like 3 months at a time. That happens. Yeah. And so it's just having a conversation and knowing, you know, how to appropriately meet expectations for the homeowner, because they're seeing, you know, five figure checks coming in high season sometimes, and then it dwindles down to, you know, a couple thousand or, you know, or several hundred, and they don't really understand it's a year long game.
Right. Got it. So a lot of times when you're comparing homes, you try and do apples to apples. And I assume the STRs are the same way. Like if you have a single family home on the waterfront, it's going to rent for something different that's on a dry lot, something like that. So how do you weigh those differences? How do you figure out the nightly differences if your only comps are like on dry lot, like on a residential lot versus one that's, you know, on the water or one that's like by the ocean, something like that, and one further away? How do you figure all that out?
Well, one thing you could do is to kind of even the playing field is amenities. And, you know, Airbnb and some of these other companies, they'll tell you what the guests are looking for. And so you may have a phenomenal property that's sitting on the water, but like the amenities, there's no beach chairs, there's no parasols, there's no Keurig, there's like all these things that people want when they're on vacation. And so you may have that same property or like the same comp, not necessarily on the water, but let's say 5-10 minutes walking distance from the water, same size, but not on the water, and you have all these amenities, and it will go from a higher daily rate, and it'll have a higher occupancy, just because the owner or the property manager took the time to put the things into the home that the industry sees that people want when they're traveling.
Interesting. So it's not the same then. So if homeowners want the Keurig and want the beach chairs and they want something, they may overlook the waterfront location, and a rental is going to get more revenue because of the beach chairs and the Keurig and, you know, whatever else they have.
And stay more consistent, because those people are going to have, they're going to be happier. They're going to leave you a 5-star review, tell you how great the property is, while the other property that may in theory cost more, you know, may go for more per night because of how it looks, where it's located. That property may only get, like, let's say 40% occupancy, but the other property may get 75%. And so as you get more 5-star reviews, that just kind of keeps making that other property higher in the search engines.
Well, I appraisers, I think that's a big deal what he's saying right there. That is a really big deal. Like, those little things, what the renters want, can make or break that per night cost and, you know, the occupancy. That's crazy. I know before we were having a conversation about you could isolate an amenity and let the owners know, like, hey, if you added a spa or you added this, that, and the other thing, how much more the rate could go up. But I didn't even think about the little stuff, like the amenities inside of the home, like the whatever the pool table, foosball, whatever they have, and the couch situation or furniture, stuff like that. I never thought about that. I was thinking the bigger stuff, but damn. All right. That's some good information right there.
Yeah, devil's in the details a lot of times. So it's funny what people are willing to spend money on that they're particular about when they travel. And again, like I said, getting a seasoned property manager for the territory where the property is located is invaluable at times, because those little things like that you may not know of, because they're calling our team, letting us know what they're looking for. You know, they're doing the inquiries, asking these things. And so even if we don't catch the booking, we can still pass that information on to the homeowner or add that to the home to make it, you know, something somebody would want next time.
Got it. All right. So I'm going to pause for a second and plug our sponsor. Do you want to pull up like a report that you give to the average homeowner, something like that, to show like a projection, and maybe the people watching on YouTube can see, you know, what you're looking at, and maybe can help them in their appraisal process with these STRs. Absolutely. So while you do that, I'm going to plug our sponsor here. So this episode is sponsored by the Appraisal Referral Network. It's community built by an appraiser for appraisers. You can unlock new opportunities and earn more private work by leveraging peer-to-peer referrals. You can connect with nearby appraisers, access valuable lessons to expand your non-lender business. If you're ready to grow your income and reach new levels of success, head over to referappraisals.com and join the Appraisal Referral Network today. All right, so Garen, you want to share a document? So whenever you meet with a homeowner, you can show them a projection on what their property could rent for and what they can expect in a year.
Yeah, we'll usually take the address and take a day or two to pull up a projection. I'm trying to
get my. I just put you on the spot.
You're fine.
Time, it's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car, unless. Do you sell your car with Carvana? Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
I'll say, give me 24 hours to really take a look at what's going on. And I'll produce a document that's coming up. You seeing that?
Yeah, let me add this to the stage here.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, so usually we'll first conversation, hey, this is what we do. This is the services we offer. We kind of go over just a short list of things. If we're able to move to the stage where the homeowner wants to work with us, we'll get their address and we'll produce a document like this. So this is just a sample, but, you know, a 3-bedroom home, looks like a townhouse in Deerfield. And, you know, you're sitting, let's call it 10 minutes to the beach. So this might be a great example. So this house annual revenue we're showing based on our metrics that it should be about $77,000. And this is going to be with an annual average daily rate of $330. for our comps, I like to pull between 5 to 10 properties in the area that I can find some relatively good comps on before we can determine like what the property should make. And then even from there, I like to say, hey, this is a 5-year average, because if we're able to keep the property on our platform for 3 to 5 years, we should meet optimal occupancy will produce optimal annual rate. But starting out, you know, you have to get licenses. There's things people may not understand about, like having linens and towels and all these things that they need to stock the house with. And also just the fact that once we actually make the property live, it may take about 30 to 60 days for that property to get some hits, because there is a method to it based on seasonality. So we have these conversations to say, okay, hey, the runway for a property like yours, for people booking, maybe 30, 60, 90 days out from the next season or cycle. So there are all these things that we talk about for startup costs. So this number is top line overall, but we like to say, hey, give us a year or two to hit this. We're going to probably get somewhere way below this because of how the startup costs. And so also, again, occupancy. These occupancy numbers are not going to be inflated. We're going to pull this from actual homeowners that have shared their data through some of the pay services that we have.
So zoom in. Can you zoom in, Darren? Sorry to interrupt. Can you zoom in real quick? Is it possible?
I don't know. I don't think it is. It's just a PDF. Let me see. Oh, yes, I can. Hold on. Is it getting larger?
Oh, yeah. Keep going. Yeah, just do 1 second. All right, perfect. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so you'll see. So this number here, like I said, we're trying to achieve this annual revenue over a 3 to 5 year span with our services. And so, but we're pulling this from real data. We're getting this data from other homes in the area that we know this data is real, because it's shared through like different data points, data sites that we pay for. And so again, you know, we'll share this document with the homeowner to set a baseline of where we're targeting. And then from there, it's just about a partnership. And that's just how we work. Hey, we know we're going to need this thing. We may need a budget for this. You know, we may want to invest in putting like a heater into the pool after, you know, a year of revenue. And so we just really want to make a partnership and a roadmap for us to be successful year over year. It's how we try to do our business. And then, as you can see here, we kind of give them just an idea of monthly where we should be targeting based on the market. And again, these numbers are getting pulled from actual SCRs in the area that have shared their data, either through some of the services that they have to pay taxes through or wherever we get these paid numbers from. But we're paying for this service to have real-time data.
All right. So to populate the that nightly revenue there, you're using your paid data sources to figure that out. Right. And there's comps somewhere in there showing like, hey, 10 blocks away is another house that's rented. Or does there like a comp page that pulls up with the competing properties that are rented?
No, they won't give you the actual competing properties where they are per se. But they will tell you how many were sourced. And so I can say, okay, hey, I'm looking for 5 to 10, and they'll give me, you know, maybe 9, 15 or whatever I'm looking for.
Okay.
And then they'll give me a composite page. And so from there, but again, the data is pulled from all the property managers that use this database. And so we know the numbers are there.
Got it. So it's filled by the industry. Okay.
Exactly. So this in comparison to like an AirDNA, the same address, if you know if this address is real, the same address, this number might be 107,000.
Oh wow. So it's like the Zillow. So basically I do that sometimes, compare what it appraised to and what the Zillow's estimate was. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so when you're having that conversation with the homeowner that wants to be a little bit more hands-on, they're gonna have a number in their mind, and we're usually gonna come back a lot lower but again, like I said, if we can get this number year after year three, so to speak, and we know we're getting this amount of money, plus with repeat business, you know, if you can target people when they come visit your property and get them back, that's another revenue stream. So, you know, one thing for us, we really try to go after repeat business to really hit those targets.
Yeah. So like in the appraisal business, there's like residential and commercial appraisers. Mm-hmm. So, and there's a debate, like, can residential appraisers, you know, do these STR analysis, because you technically it's like a business, but it's still real estate. Mm-hmm. But from what you're pulling up here and figuring this out, it's like you're managing a business. This is a business.
Yeah, it is a business. And honestly, you know, it's funny because I've had rental properties in Texas where I'm from, and I've been an absentee owner. So I know a lot of times, a lot of the pain points to be able to articulate that to our clients here of things that we wish we had known, things we wish we had somebody to be an expert on. So it's really helped us grow our business and be able to add that personal touch with how we, you know, just how we interact with our homeowners, because there are a lot of things that happen to a property when you have, when you're working with a property management company that are beyond your control sometimes. So partnership is really important that you feel comfortable with who you're working with.
Absolutely. And so regarding that, like, which can bring us to the expense part of it, like, what should, to calculate expenses for the property, we have the cleaning expense, maintenance, you know, utilities, you know, the platform fees, management fees. Like, for example, like, what, you're essentially the property manager. If somebody hired you, you're the property manager. Like, what cut do you take with from the homeowners to manage this, like, to manage this for them?
It depends. So, you know, you're going to be looking at between 10 to 25% just industry-wide. And what I mean by that is, like, not every home is the same, and not every home has the same amount of, like, care that it needs. Some properties are pristine. The homeowners may have their own vendors that they've been working with for, like, 10, 15 years. It's nothing to manage there. They may even have, like, their own entry codes, or, like, you know, they have their own way to get into the property for pest control or to get to the backyard. And so, and they just come and go and just let us know when they'll be there, right? You're going to probably have a lower fee because it won't be as much to manage. Some properties come because they just bought a property because somebody said it was a good deal and they don't know what the heck they're doing. And so they don't have any of these services set up. So you may have to have somebody at that property several times a week just to get it off the ground and keep in, you know, they may not want to invest in like a Ring doorbell or like security camera. So things that can automate our end. We may be sending somebody there daily, weekly to do things. There are other services there, you know, like trash pickup and, you know, other things that have automated services that the homeowner may not want to pay for. And so it just kind of just boils down to how little or how much hands-on they want to be with the property and how it's set up. And so for us, we just recommend certain things for homeowners. Sometimes they like those things. Sometimes they don't. They want to do it themselves, and that's going to save them some money. But ultimately, industry standard is going to be around between 10 to 25% just based on what level of care the property manager has to do for the property.
Yeah, so that's kind of big for appraisers to consider in their analysis is like a turnkey one is maybe 10% is the management fee, yeah. Whereas like rentals, you know, like, you know, 1 month, 10% or whatever is a typical like long-term rental, but damn, 25%. So that you need to factor that in if you got a new STR trying to, you know, figure that out. It could be as high as 25%. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Some of these companies are charging 25%. And you know, it's just like any other service that you're going after. Just the right fit. But again, think about it like this. If that property is making you $250,000 a year, because it is pristine and the property manager knows what they're doing and they have a great system going for getting guests in there and getting repeat business for you, you know, maybe worth your while.
Right.
So it just depends. But like I said, not all STRs are equal. And I've seen some
that need work.
Yeah. I've seen some that it's just, you just walk in there and it's great. And you know, you never hear anything from the guests or from the homeowners and it's great. And then you just have some that they're having parties every weekend and you got to go out there with the police to keep people out. It's just a pain. So,
yeah. Speaking of that, how often do you get that call is from the neighbors or something that there's a party going on and you need to take care of something?
Not too often. You know, our neck of the woods is not per se like a party area, but that, again, that's something to consider too. Like a STR in Miami, you're going to probably pay a little bit higher in management fees because of the area versus like Boca Raton, which is like a CB area, you know, quiet. So,
right. So, what's the most common maintenance thing you need to deal with, or the most common expense for one of these properties you manage?
Really, you know, honestly, it's just wear and tear from guests. You know, plumbing's probably a big one because in Florida, unbeknownst to me, there's quite a bit of work that, you know, there's a lot of conversions. And in the licensing process, sometimes they may not have to tell you that. So you may have a house that may have had a garage that's converted to like a third bathroom or third bedroom. Sure. And so now you're trafficking, you know, 6 to 8 people through that home every other week. And the plumbing may not have been sustained for that amount of people. So plumbing comes up a lot. Appliances tend to wear and tear a lot faster. So, you know, you may have more calls for the ice dispenser that's not working properly, or the oven's not working properly, the microwave's not working properly because of wear and tear, washing machines, those type of things. So it's just good to have a good handyman that you can trust, because a lot of those things happen, and they tend to happen when guests are staying for longer stays, and you got to get that stuff fixed a lot faster.
Got it. So the projections you put up there for this property, which was like $77,000 a year or whatever, does that include cleaning fees, or the tenants are paying, or the renters are paying that cleaning fee on top of that, on top of whatever they're booking for per night?
Yeah, they're typically paying that to the channel partner. And then that money is kind of put like in an escrow for the cleaner or for the cleaning team.
Got it.
So you don't really see that. This is more so everything all in, including management fees, taken out. And then this is what they should be recouping over.
Cool. So you mentioned about conversions and stuff. Like, how is the process for licensing? I know a lot of these municipalities around here have, you know, come up with their, you need to register your short-term rental, and you need to jump through all the hoops to get them to get it rented. So what's been your process with that?
Yeah, licensing is tricky. Each individual city or municipality can have their own set of rules. You can have one STR that's literally like a mile from each other in two different cities, and they're vastly different processes to get the licensing for them. So for us, when we do meet a homeowner that does not have a license, we look and see, we pull what's needed for the STR license. And then our team actually is able to do them in-house, and we charge a fee for that to do the licensing portion. Sometimes homeowners do it themselves, that's fine too, but that goes back to when we're configuring out what we're gonna make year one, us doing a licensing process for the property when we're vetted and we know what we're doing. May take, let's say, 2 weeks. It may take 6 to 8 weeks if the homeowner's doing it, because there's like a lot of things to go through. So
got it.
We have that conversation, you know, so if you want to save the money, it's fine. But we just know that may take us out of a season, and you may miss a window for booking. So it just depends. Like some cities are less demanding with what they want you to disclose and how they want you to do the licensing. Some we'll send out 3 or 4 inspectors, and you may have like a 4-week process to get a license. So it just depends. Everybody's different. Like Pompano is pretty easy to get a license. They just send out, you know, maybe like 1 inspector. You know, a place like Coral Springs or Parkland, you may have like 4 inspection visits before you get your license. So it just depends.
Yeah, because I totally think they don't want STRs in the neighborhood. And they just make it really difficult for you to get a license. So
they'll pick things.
Yeah. What are you, what if somebody, are there any cities that don't allow STRs like in your market?
Not that we've seen, you know, even like Boca Raton, they don't want them. And they try to have the HOAs, use the bylaws to discourage you from getting them, but you can get a short-term rental license in Boca. We've done it. So no, nothing that we've seen, in South Florida where we're working has stopped us from doing it. Now, again, the rules and regulations may get a little bit costly for what you have to have in the property or how it needs to be converted to get the license. And that's a question for the homeowner. Do they want to add that expense? But you do have the right to have it.
Got it. All right, Garen, with that, I'm going to close it up. Is there anything you want to add? I know we're going to stay on and do some more content for our elite members, but is there anything else you want to say to the appraisers out there trying to value these STRs?
I would just say, you know, we're happy. I mean, our team, even though we work Pompano Beach mainly, you know, we have software and we're happy to answer questions or provide rental projections because we do out of market analysis all the time. So you guys can definitely contact us for that. We do We do licensing nationally as well, so we can help with that. So we have a lot of services that we can offer, not just within Pompano Beach, but so if anybody has a question, you know, definitely happy to answer or put you in our direction.
So, all right, with that, Garen, okay. If somebody was doing an appraisal on an STR and you can provide them more information on it, is that something you could can package and sell to an appraiser? Like, hey, this is interesting. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, pricing and all kinds of things.
All right, Garen, give your contact information. You can figure it out from there. I don't know if appraisers will reach out or not, but it's interesting. I thought about that. So give your contact information, just your email.
Yeah, just give me a shout out my email. It's going to be Garen, G-A-R-R-E-N, .P.Burton, B-U-R-T-O-N, at gmail.com. Or you can hit me on Classic Real Estate Group, Florida. That's going to be at gmail.com as well. And my direct sale is going to be 954-531-3080. And like I said, I'm just happy to answer questions. And if there's a way for us to do business so we can help you with your STR experience and analysis, we're happy to do that as well.
All right. Awesome, Garen. Again, stick around for the elite content, and I'm going to do the closing right here. But thanks a lot, Garen.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found some value in it, which you can apply to your appraisal business. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave a review. It really helps us reach more appraisers like you. For more tips and to connect with other appraisers, visit referappraisals.com. Until next time, keep brewing up success in your business, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.